Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
24 CBS, you want to grab a line? We're wide open on the phones in the next hour. But as we head towards the top of the hour, it's time to talk shift gears. We've been pretty basketball heavy tonight. Let's talk a little NFL. Specifically, let's talk a little Dallas Cowboys. He covers the Dallas Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News. And he is joining me right now on the program. John Machota, who covers, as I mentioned, the Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News, joining me. John, it's great to have you on the program. Really appreciate you making time on a Sunday on a long weekend. What's the concern level right now amongst those who cheer for or follow the Cowboys that Ezekiel Elliott could be back in suspension land?
I don't think it's very – it's not very serious right now. I don't think anyone's projecting that to happen at this point. Now, as we saw and we've seen throughout the past in the NFL, you know, just because you don't have any you don't get in any trouble legally, it doesn't mean that they can't levy their own suspension against you. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott's already been suspended 6 games in 2017, and he never got actually charged with anything in the court of law. So obviously that could change, and some could always come down, because when that did come down for Zeke, you know, part of the ruling from Roger Goodell was that, you know, if you get in trouble anymore in the future, that you could face banishment from the league. I mean, that would be obviously your stiffest penalty, but have they even mentioned that's the biggest thing down here that people are talking about, is just why would he even put himself in a situation like that? But in terms of the impact on the team, I don't think anybody gets more nervous about these things than Jason Garrett, because he's going in the final year of his contract, and you just look at the way this team's played with and without Ezekiel Elliott, you can certainly make the argument that he's the most valuable player on this team.
Yeah, and I think that's where I was kind of going with the Elliott thing, John, is you know, we all saw the video of what he did, kind of nudging that security guard to the ground. And it's one of those things you look at, go, okay, well, if he didn't have any priors, I don't even know that he would necessarily be getting suspended for this. But it's Ezekiel Elliott. He did get a 6-game suspension a couple years ago. And I think that's where I look at, if I were a Cowboy fan, I'd just be a bit concerned, is that the guy's got priors on his record. And you're right, just the kind of the stupidity of even putting yourself in that position.
Yeah, and it's interesting with, you know, for all the bad things you can say about Twitter and social media, and there's a lot of it, it's also is an interesting it's an interesting way to kind of gauge the way the public feels about things. And it is interesting if you're an event like that, you know, TMZ puts out the video, and which is obviously something that they tweet out, and you get to see fans react to it. And while, yeah, there's a lot of people that are wondering, you know, Cowboys fans are, you know, how does he put himself in these situations again? You know, he's in the prime of his career. He's entering an off season he's in an off season where he could potentially get a new long-term deal, which is rare at that position. Like, why put yourself in that situation? But then you have your other Cowboys fans on social media that will totally just attack the security guard, because they saw the 5-minute clip and they feel like they knew everything that went on, and that he flopped, and he's James Harden. And it's just like, it gets all over the place. So there's a mixture of it. But for me, from covering the team, my biggest thing is just, I know that it's tough when you're, you know, the superstar running back and you play for the Dallas Cowboys. It's hard to keep yourself out of the public eye, but man, at least until I get that next contract, I'm staying at home.
Yeah, boy, John, I said the exact same thing on my local show here in Houston. Is I'm not even leaving the house until I get that pile of guaranteed money that the Cowboys have already said is earmarked for Zeke at some point. John Machota, who covers the Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's go to the contractual part of the Cowboys offseason here. And it's significant, John, and let's just, I guess, start right at what's going to wind up being the most expensive contract. And that's Dak Prescott. Do you feel like Dak Prescott is a $30 million a year quarterback?
If they started over the NFL today and they took every quarterback off of every team, and it was a complete just, it's a free-for-all, it's just a bidding war to get your guy, I don't know if he's necessarily $30 million. But if you look at where the market's going and how difficult it is to find a quarterback that is even if you're his harshest critic, that, to even be on his level, I just feel like you have to do it, because you can be in such, you'd be in such worse place if you just sat there and said, well, just let him walk, we'll find somebody else. Now, the Cowboys have been as lucky, if not more lucky, than any other franchise in terms of finding quarterbacks recently. I mean, they got Tony Romo as an undrafted guy. They found Dak in the late fourth round with a compensatory pick after they already drafted somebody else in the first, second, third, and fourth round. If you ever thought he was going to be this guy, $30 million guy, you never would have waited to the fourth round. So they've been extremely lucky there, but I don't think they want to roll the dice again. And you just look across the league, and there's just not if you don't think that Dak's a top 10 quarterback, that's fine. But even if you think he's just middle of the pack, then he's a franchise quarterback, and so that's just kind of where the money's at, and that's the way the Cowboys feel about him, is that he is their franchise quarterback of the future, and that even if he doesn't maybe impress you like some of these other quarterbacks, that's just the going rate you have to pay for that position, and that's why I strongly believe that it gets done in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Do you know, John, how they're prioritizing all these guys? Because let's face it, the fallout, maybe that's not a great word, the fallout of drafting really good young talent is that eventually you got to pay them on second contracts if you want to keep them. And the Cowboys have done such a good job of drafting that there all of a sudden is a laundry list of guys from Prescott to trading for Amari Cooper. We mentioned Elliott, Jalen Smith, and Byron Jones on the defensive side of things. What's your sense on how they're going to prioritize these guys?
Now, everybody, whether it's Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, they've hesitated on there being a pecking order, but there's clearly a pecking order. It started off this offseason with DeMarcus Lawrence. He was first. They got him taken care of. Mm-hmm. Next up is Dak Prescott, and that's because he's going into this final year of his deal, and he's the quarterback. It's the most important position on the team. So I think it's pretty clear he's second. After him, it's Amari Cooper, because he, too, is going in the final year of the deal. And here's the other thing with Amari Cooper. You traded a first-round pick for him, and you only got a half a season out of him. You did not trade a first-round pick to get 1.5 seasons out of this guy. You traded it because you saw him being, you know, basically the guy that takes over for what they lost when you know, they parted ways with Dez Bryant. This is your number one receiver going forward. So that's number two. And now third is Ezekiel Elliott. Now, Zeke could get done before those if maybe, you know, they sit down with his agent and they work at somewhat of a team-friendly deal, which it still is. That's not going to be that much team-friendly because they've already said that. Stephen Jones has said that Ty Gurley's deal will be kind of where they start at. So unless he came forward and said that he was going to take something that they thought was a little bit favorable to them, maybe he gets done before them, but I don't see that happen. And then last would be Byron Jones, who made a Pro Bowl at corner last year. So I think that's the order. They haven't said that publicly, but it certainly feels that way.
What's the case for I get they're going to try to extend Dak Prescott before going into the final year of his deal. I guess what's the harm in letting him play under this contract and then using the franchise tag on him after the season?
I mean, just in covering the Cowboys, for me personally, I haven't heard anybody in the organization say this, but I look at just kind of the way everything went down with Washington and Kirk Cousins, and I don't think anybody looks at that as, well, they handled that the right way, and where you just get in this position where you're basically franchising them. Well, let's try one more year. All right, we'll franchise you. Well, let's try one more year. Because anyway, even once you start getting in that franchise tag, you're getting in the $30 million a year range anyway.
Yeah.
And then I really do think that everything that Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, Jason Garrett, everything that they've said publicly, there's been no hesitation from the very beginning in 2016 where he won the job, you know, and never gave it back to Tony Romo when he got back healthy, that they always felt like this was going to be the guy. And so if that's the case, then you want to pay that guy. And then here's the other thing is, like, the longer you wait at the quarterback position, really any position, but especially a quarterback, then you're just waiting for another guy like Carson Wentz or Jared Goff or somebody else to sign another contract. And as soon as that happens, the price just keeps going up and up and up, and before you know it, you're paying him $32, $33 million a year.
Those are good counterpoints. John Machota of the Dallas Morning News joining me on CBS Sports Radio. John, you mentioned with respect to the hierarchy of this team, the names you've mentioned multiple times in this conversation, Jason Garrett, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones. And I think there's a lot of people wondering as power transitions from Jerry to Stephen Jones, and I know that Stephen Jones is obviously very, very involved, maybe even more so than Jerry to this point. Are there any material changes we can expect to see over the next several years in terms of how the Cowboys go about things? Or have we started to see them already even with the Cowboys, with Stephen Jones in charge as opposed to Jerry?
We've already started seeing them, and I feel like I started covering the team in 2011, and you might have saw a gradual thing here or there. I think 2014, when Stephen won out, with them going with Zach Martin over Jerry, really being interested in Johnny Manziel in the first round, I thought that was a pretty good sign. And then you start seeing more and more as the years went on. But I think the biggest thing recently was that Stephen was the one that just handled the DeMarcus Lawrence contract, which was a huge one for them. You know, I mean, their defense is just not even close to being what it was last year or what they want it to be without DeMarcus Lawrence. It'd be, I mean, he to me is their most valuable defensive player. They would be lost without him. And so, Steven spearheaded that whole thing, and that's just not something you really saw, you know, in the past. And I think that you see that kind of, moving towards what it would be if, you know, something happened to Jerry Jones. I think Steven would handle all the football operations, and I think Charlotte Jones, Anderson would handle a lot more of the business side of things, a lot more of the marketing side, and you know, Jerry kind of does a little bit of everything, but they clearly have a plan in place.
Last one, and we got about a minute here. What are expectations for Jason Witten this coming season?
That's a great question. You know, I was kind of surprised when they signed him without even working him out. You know, I mean, they're going off of his word, but I mean, anybody taking a year off, let alone somebody that's going to be from 36 to 37 years old, and has been in the booth for a year. So you sit there and you're kind of like, man, that's pretty wild that they would just do that without even getting a workout. But obviously everything we've heard since then is he's just been off the charts. He's been back to old Jason Witten. And I thought it was really telling that they didn't go after anybody of note in free agency, and they didn't go after anybody in the draft. And I thought those two things would have been telling. And so because they didn't, I think Jason Witten doesn't play as much as he did, you know, in 2017, but I still think he's a major part of this offense.
John Machota, Dallas Morning News, joining me to talk some Dallas Cowboy football. John, really appreciate you making time on a Sunday of a long weekend, man. Enjoy the rest of the offseason, and hope to do it again with you down the road. Thanks very much.
Yeah, no problem at all. Anytime.
All right, you got it. Thanks, John. John Machota of the Dallas Morning News joining me here on CBS Sports Radio. Cowboys, as usual, will be one of the more interesting teams heading into 2019. Maybe not on the level of the Cleveland Browns and the Oakland Raiders. And I always think that's a fun question, too. And if you wanted to answer that one tonight, that's a good one to talk about. I think the Raiders are going to wind up being on Hard Knocks. I think we all can agree on that. They're one of four or five teams that has to say yes if the league asks them. And NFL Films, the other teams that are up for it compared to the Raiders right now, I think it's the Giants and the Niners and the Lions, one other in there. I mean, it's the Raiders are a no-brainer. But if you could cover one team's training camp this year, who would it be? I feel like if you took a poll of people like me, people that are in the NFL media, I say people like me, talk show hosts or people who actually cover the NFL or NFL teams, Cleveland and Oakland would be neck and neck. Just because of all the hype and the drama. I think the Colts would be fairly high up there, too, just because they're a team that's pretty hyped up. I think New England's always going to be up there just because it would be intriguing to cover a Belichick-Brady training camp. Dallas is up there, man. You know you're going to get a couple of contractual bombs dropping in the middle of that training camp. There's got to be. They've got guys they got to take care of. All right, big thanks to John Machota of the Dallas Morning News. All right, we got 2 hours to go. We're wide open in the next hour. Now's the time to grab a line. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'm Sean Pendergast. Stay there.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.